Hi, my name is Steve Warren, and I want to welcome you to this podcast. I'm believing today you'll be filled with faith, you'll be energized by hope, and you'll feel loved as this message seeks to transform and empower your life. God bless you as you listen to this. But I'd encourage you to read the entire letter in your own time and do your own research and dig deep and ask God for wisdom about what he's saying to your life. So today, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at living by faith. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 11 says this, "Clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith." See, the law is what you would say has an insatiable appetite. That is, it has such a hunger, it can never be fulfilled. You probably had that feeling. It's that feeling of, it's just not good enough, or I'm not good enough, or the more I try, it just isn't quite there yet. It doesn't quite satisfy that deep itch. And so before there was the law, there was faith. Abraham was made righteous because he had faith in God. That was before the law. The purposes of God were always meant to be birthed by faith, not by works. We will go on in a moment to see why the law was brought. It says in verse 14, "He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." Note there, the blessing of Abraham. God wants the blessings that he's always promised to the people of God to flow into and through you and I. It's by faith we receive those blessings. It's by faith we receive the promise. And what is one of those promises? It's the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Lord promised us, Jesus promised to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. That transformational working of the Holy Spirit. Just as God promised to Abraham that he would expand the place of his tent, he would enlarge his territory, so God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit to enlarge us, to increase us, to amplify our personality, our giftings, and who we are. We will also, and do also, take ground, just as it was promised to Abraham. Verse 16, "The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed." Scripture does not say "and to seeds," meaning many people, but "and to your seed," meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this, the law introduced 430 years later than Abraham and his promise, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. Okay, let's unpack that. What is the promise he's talking about? The promise he's primarily talking about is the promise of salvation through Christ. Even back in Abraham's time, God had given Abraham a glimpse of salvation, a glimpse of the possibility of being a righteous person through trust in God. And so that same promise traveled down through the ages, and that promise was not annulled or made invalid just because the law came along. The promise of salvation by faith in Christ and a seed and the one to come was not replaced by the law. The law was never able to achieve it, was never meant to achieve it. It was not its purpose. Faith is the purpose. Faith is the means of unveiling and revealing the purpose of God's promise, the promise of salvation. There are so many other promises God has made to us. When you become a believer, the Bible tells us not only do you become part of the family of Abraham, inheriting all his promises to multiply, to expand, that is, you will be incredibly fruitful, but also the promises come through Christ, that is, we become a co-heir, an inheritor of all that's promised to Christ. That is this, that we are to inherit the earth, Matthew 5 or 6. That is to say that all that is in Christ becomes ours also, Galatians 4, 7. The promise that you would never be alone because you've been born into the family of God, Galatians 4, 6. And so I could go on. There are so many promises that you and I have through the fact we've been born again and we've been made children of Abraham and co-heirs with Christ. But these promises come into reality. That is, we live them out through faith, not by human effort and works. Okay, verse 24, he says, so the law, now we're getting to the purpose of why there is the law. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. That is to say, the law was there to help show us what sin is, to show us how a good life in God can look like. It was never meant to save us. Only the promise of Christ's coming would ever do that. It is a guardian. Now, I don't know if you're a fan of some of Julian Fellowes' writings and movies and series, such as Gosford Park or like Titanic. Probably the most well-known and most followed recently is Downton Abbey, which is fascinating. Okay, it's a glimpse of British history, but to some degree, it's not untypical of history of many different countries where you have different statuses in society. In fact, probably it still exists, you know, today. We know who those people are who have it or been born into having it and those who haven't. But the fascinating thing about Downton Abbey and why I think so many people watch it is that idea of those who live upstairs and those who live downstairs, the life of the privileged. You're not even having to dress yourself, although a horrible thought in my mind. You have someone to help you do it. You never need a cook. You got someone to help you do it. You never need a clean because you got someone to do it for you. And there is the life of those upstairs. And by downstairs, I mean that's where the servants would work and possibly live two different lives, a life and a story of inheritance, of wealth to certain generations, but also a story of inequality. Right here in Galatians, right throughout the entire letter, Paul is trying to put right the sense of inequality. We've got what was called the super apostles, those who like to think they lived upstairs, those who like to think they had the superior knowledge, who see that Christ alone is not enough. There is more than just Christ alone. You need to add to it circumcision. You need to add to it certain rituals, food rituals and so on, that would enable you to be right with God. And Paul is going, no, Christ brings an equality to all. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, male or female. Everyone is equal through this quality, faith. Faith is the equalizer, friends. Faith is the equalizer of all of us. It doesn't matter what background you come from. It doesn't matter whether you're raised in church or not. There is nothing that's going to take you beyond somebody else other than an act of faith in Christ, other than our ability to trust in Christ. And so he says, the law was there as a guardian. That is to say, you can be a child and have an inheritance promised to you, but it ain't coming your way until you come of age, until you reach that 18-year-old or 21-year-old level. And that is, you will not gain the inheritance by living in the realm of the law. We need to grow up and mature and live in the realm of faith. Now, I want to kindly say to you today, we need to continue to grow up. We need to continue to mature in our ability to trust God and live by faith. There are so many things that are attractive about being a child, you know, the fact that somebody else is making decisions for you, about the fact that somebody else is saying, if you do this and this, it'll sort of work out. The fact that actually you can get away with things that you just won't get away with as an adult. Even criminal things aren't punished if you're a minor in the same way as if you're an adult. And so some people still love to live in that place of immaturity. Because, you know, with natural aging, we all age the same way. That is, one day goes past, we're one day older. 1 month goes past, we're 1 month older. 1 year goes past, and so we're aging. And so we'll all reach the age of 18, the age of maturity, at the same pace. But spiritual maturity doesn't work like that at all. In fact, you could have known Christ for 5 years and still be no further on. Maybe you've known him for 15 years and still haven't really grown into a place of maturity. Let me explain how faith works. Faith is in a different dimension to this world's dimension. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, this world has a certain number of dimensions. Let's say it's like we live in a three-dimensional world. You know, the things you see, the things you touch, the things you taste are around us. There's that world. And then there's the spiritual world, the world of faith, which is like a fourth dimension. Now, when we come to Christ, we have a choice to make. Will we continue to live in the three-dimensional world, which is sort of the immature world? It's the world of the child, let's say, needing still a guardian. That is that we live by impulses. We feel something, we do something. We are triggered by something, we immediately respond. We have a need of something, so we fill that need. I'm hungry, so I feed myself. I feel down, so I have to pep myself up with something. It's a responsive, reactive type of environment. And Paul is going, there's a different way to live, friends. There's a different realm in which to live that is a fourth dimension. That is the realm of faith. That is the realm of let's stop, let's trust God. I may feel this way, but there's a greater life out there to experience. I may be triggered in this way, but I'm not going to react to it. I'm not going to react as I might normally do to those anxious feelings or the tendency to control and make sure it's all in my hands. I'm going to stop. God, I trust you. And the beauty of that is this, is it's when we begin to trust God, all the promises begin to unfold. You see, the moment you get saved, you inherit all of the promises we talked about earlier. But it's not until you mature and grow up and say, I'm going to fully put my faith in all that God says in his word, and that you begin to unwrap all those promises, experience the reality of all those promises. And friends, if there's anything I want for you, it's this, to be able to walk in the experience of all the promises of God, that you are the head and not the tail. You're on top and not underneath all of those life circumstances, that you can live on top, that you can prosper and do well and be in health in your soul and mind and spirit and be blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I went out for a run the other day, and I was running along a sort of narrow road, and this car was coming toward me. And as it got closer, it just stopped in the road. I was like, wow, that felt like a great honor, a great respect of my space. It could have crept beside me. It wouldn't have been a problem. That's what most cars do along that road. They managed to get past, but no, he just stopped there, and I felt so good. It was like, man, he's given me all the space I need. And then a few seconds later, as I pass, a car comes up from behind me and passes me, and I suddenly realize the car that was coming toward me hadn't stopped for me. It had stopped for the car behind me. A little bit of a humbling realization, but how much of a picture is that of the man who walks by faith, the woman who stands in trust of God? You have a God behind you. Like that car behind me signaled to the car ahead that it was to stop. You have an authority that is not of you. You may know that you are humanly fragile and vulnerable, in a sense small, but in God, you are huge. You have a huge God on your side. You have a huge future in front of you. You have promises to unveil that will unlock doors that are unimaginable of the promises and the blessings of God, because Christ is in you. And so in these last few moments, I want to help you learn how to walk in faith and to take a hold of these promises. Just nudge someone next to you and say, come on, let's walk by faith. Let's walk by faith. Because the law may keep us from being too bad. It may help us live good, but it does not have the power to transform us like faith does. It keeps us immature, just doing good works. You see, Jesus never called us simply to be good people. That's just such a watering down of the gospel, that Christianity is about morality. No, Christianity is about saved, transformed people who are walking in all the full promises of God. And so here we go. Step one of walking and living by faith. And that is this: faith hears. Faith hears. That is to say that in Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the word. That is why we need to be daily in the Bible and reading and hearing from his word. That is why we need to be in a service like this every week, just hearing the preaching of the word, because it builds and illuminates faith inside of us. And being in group and unpacking it together and keeping each other accountable to what the scriptures say, because truth sets us free, and it's the hearing of truth that activates faith, and that faith in that truth is what unlocks something inside of you. You can tell I'm getting pretty excited about this. We need to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing. The second thing is this: faith comes by seeing. God took Abraham outside of his tent and he said, look up at the sky. What do you see? Abraham goes, oh, a lot of stars up there. He goes, absolutely. So will be the multitude of your descendants. The promise of increase, the promise of inheriting the earth, the promise of expansion, the transformational power of the Holy Spirit promises the same to you, that you can enlarge the place of your tent, that you can enlarge your spiritual soul capacity, that you can bear fruit beyond your own human capacity. You need to be able to see it before you can receive it. Abraham saw it in picture form as stars in the sky and sand under his feet before he could receive it. Faith sees. Thirdly, faith speaks. Faith speaks. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. Now, I know this is counterintuitive. I know living by faith is counterintuitive. I know to wake up in the morning and feel like down, or feel like, I don't know, accusations coming my way, or feeling in a certain mood and living counter to it is counterintuitive. I know saying that I am strong while I'm feeling weak is counterintuitive. But you will only walk in the promises of God if we learn to walk counter the third dimension, counterintuitive, and walk in the fourth dimension. That is how the spiritual realm works. And that is it. God works with us, through us, in us, that we need to bring our spiritual world into place by speaking it. Let the weak say, I am strong. Say that the Spirit, I say this regularly, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. He is on me. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. My hope is secure. I have an anchor. What a great thing to confess on days when you're feeling a little insecure and shaky. I have an anchor. His name is Jesus. He is the hope of the world. I am the head and not the tail. I am growing. I am moving forward. I'm taking ground. I am a child of God. You see, as you read scripture and hear it, that's faith hearing, you may hear that you're a child of God, but now you need to see it. What does that look like? Yet you're imagining it. That's why it's good to live around other believers. Wow, that's what a child of God looks like. Then I need to begin to say it. I'm a child of God. I'm like that. I'm like that picture of those examples I have in Scripture of what a child of God looks like to rule in life. And then fourthly, we need to decide it. Faith decides, I am a child of God. That is how I live. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. There comes a point where faith decides that's the path I'm going to take. I can decide to be in worry and doubt. I can decide to live in the third dimension. That's easy, perhaps easier. So I need to make a decision to live contrary. I decide to trust God in all circumstances. I decide, I own, I don't just receive, I decide, I am a child of God. I make a decision. And then fifthly, faith acts. Faith acts. It's Peter stepping out of the boat. It's the disciples passing out the loaves and fishes. It's Joshua walking around the walls of Jericho. Faith acts. Faith says, I'm going to do. Faith says, I'm going to follow. I'm going to obey. As we read it and hear it and see it and speak it and decide it, we have to begin to live it. And you can only live the promises of God, the blessings of God. You can only live the ways of God. You can only live the nature of God by faith. There is no other way to live it. You can't live it in human effort. You can't live it by your works. You can't live it by doing good things only. That's a man-made construction. You can only truly live it. You can live a mimic of it, a shadow of it, by being a nice person, by being a kind person. But please, Jesus didn't die to make you a nice person. He didn't need to die to make you. There are plenty of nice people in this world who don't know Jesus. He didn't die. He died to make us changed people and to be supernatural people, to be spiritual people living out the promises of God, the inheritance of God. And so we can only do that by spiritual means, by faith. It takes faith to see the territory ahead of you and go for it. It takes faith to cut yourself from the patterns of your old life that enslave you and to live your new life. It takes faith to trust the new truth patterns that are building you into a freer future. Church, if there's anything I want you to get today, it's this. Let's continue to flee from childish ways that just trusts this world's way of living, this pattern, these patterns, these works, these efforts, that just deals with the touch and feel and what we see. And let's grow up into maturity and live trusting God, opening doors of our future inheritance. I encourage you to make some commitments today that you're going to be in the Word every day. You're going to be in prayer every day, seizing hold of what you're learning from the truth, seeing it, speaking it, making decisions toward it. So you go into your day acting as a man and woman of God, a bigger person, taking hold of your inheritance, of your future, in Jesus' name. Thank you for listening today. I want to take a few more moments of your time, because it may be today you realize that you need to get your relationship right with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never asked Him into your life before, or maybe for some reason you've been moving away from Him, and today I want to invite you to come back to Him. Or it may be that you're just not sure you're going to heaven. And so I want to lead you in a prayer right now, and I would really love for you to say this prayer with me. And then, straight after this prayer, I would love you to do something for me. But hey, let's pray right now. Dear God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that He died for me. I ask that you would forgive me. I turn away from my past, and I give you my life. Come and live in me. I thank you that today I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer, today the Holy Spirit has done something in your life. And so I want you to tell us about it. I want you to email info@c3amsterdam.nl and let us know you've made this decision, and let us have your address, because I'd love to send you a book that will help you make this decision really strong and become a follower of Jesus. And we'll also be able to help you get planted in a church near you. God bless you.